This has turned into a competition to be concise, hasn't it? I like it. I like it a lot. Thank you very much, Rod. We are next due to hear from a journalist. I hope you can bear it. Andrew Cornell is managing editor of Blue Notes, the ANZ newsroom, which is a forum for financial services and economic news, opinion and analysis. You may also remember him from his days at the Australian Financial Review and the Finns magazine. He's a multi-award-winning journalist and a very well-known name. He is going to give us a talk with a rather provocative name, as far as I can see. He confesses to being a media dinosaur, which I think is refreshingly honest and sure, probably not entirely true. But I'll allow him to explain that over the course of 10 minutes, of course.
Thanks very much, Annabelle. I did note you talked about actuaries being in the background, and as you were saying that, I note no one is sitting in the front row. None of these... So I don't know whether you staged that to make your point even better. As Annabelle said, prior to being at ANZ, where I've been a year now on a new online publication, which we just started, I was more than two decades at the AFR. When I started at the AFR as a banking correspondent, we had probably seven or eight pages a day on financial services. We had a desk of about 10 people with a corporate existence of about 300 or so years. If you look at the AFR today, there are no dedicated financial services pages. There's probably 1.5 pages a day in the company section. I know that there's only three or four dedicated journalists on those pages with probably 30 years of experience. Now, they're fantastic young journalists. I know them all. They're incredibly talented. But there's only three or four of them, and they've only got that much experience. If you think about where the AFR was 20 years ago, every one of you in the room would have had to have read the AFR by 8 o'clock in the morning. Today, I don't think everyone here has probably read it. You know, some of you probably haven't read it for a week. Now, the media landscape has fragmented. Back then, if the Actuaries Institute had a policy position and they weren't going to work behind the scenes, as David said, they were going to present it publicly, the AFR had a monopoly on where you were going to do that. You might talk on ABC radio as well, but anything of any policy note would have been in the AFR. And the reason for that was that the AFR did have a monopoly on the kind of audience that you wanted to get to. Now, today, again, that's no longer the case. Every one of you here in the room, I'm sure, has multiple mobile devices, smartphones, iPads, you probably work on your laptops. All that sort of news that you used to get the day after, you're now getting live in real time. You're probably skipping between, and we've done some market research where I am now. People use between 20 and 30 different sources of information if they're interested in the business world. And that's a problem not just for the AFR, but it's a problem for anyone who wants to present public policy. Because then you've got to start to think about those three cornerstones or interlocking spheres of influence in communication. One is the content. Now, I assume that you've got great content. Listening to David, listening to Rod, we know that the content is extremely strong. But the content is only part of it. For us at Blue Notes, and I'll show you if I can push this up, there's a sort of rough slide of where we are, and I won't talk to that in detail, but the content that you're trying to deliver, for us it's got to be compelling content, it's got to be good content, but if it doesn't go anywhere, it makes no difference. So as well as content, you've got to have distribution. And distribution at the AFR was just getting the papers on time onto a truck so they got to the news agent so they got delivered. Distribution now is, do you need to be on Twitter? If you've got an Asian regional policy, do you need to be on WeChat? Do you need to be in LinkedIn? So many of your members are going to be on LinkedIn. We have to think now, with every piece of content that we produce, is it actually going to get to the person? Is it going to be in the digital equivalent of the trucks on time? It's actually got to be there before it has any value. And then you've got to understand your audience. Now, again, in the old days of a newspaper, you know, in the dinosaur days, you didn't really have to know your audience. You roughly knew who they were. You produced a paper, the AFR produced a paper with property, with financial services, with national affairs. You knew roughly that anyone who needed to know those sorts of things roughly read the Financial Review. Now that segmentation of the audience has got to be a lot more precise because no one is just reading one or two things to get all the information. I'm sure if you all, you know, chat tonight at your functions about where do you get your news from? There'll be particular sites that have good actuarial news. There'll be good general business sites, but it'll be a lot more segmented. There'll be a lot more variety. David was talking about Paul Kelly, and Paul Kelly is a fantastic journalist, but I brought this along today as a bit of an artefact. You know, it's The Australian where Paul Kelly writes. The audience of The Australian, like the audience for the AFR, has shrunk. The revenue base for The Australian, like for the AFR, has shrunk. And no matter how good these commentators are now today, they're no longer the must-go-to component of your distribution of your policy. It may well be that Twitter is. I think if you're actually talking about the popular impact of an ageing population, for example, no one who you need to influence, no one in that generation of 20 to 30-year-olds, 30 to 40-year-olds, is reading Paul Kelly. That's the cruel, hard truth of it. I know on the AFR we started to talk about our digital strategy 10 years ago. We didn't really do a lot with it. I know a lot more now, even though I'm working for a bank, about who my audience is, what they want to read, and you've got to tailor your message to what they want to read. Now, at one extreme, we know everyone wants to watch a funny cat video. I like funny cat videos. At the other hand, writing for a publication that has this business audience, Basel III and Basel IV are critical matters, but they don't automatically have a big audience. In fact, they probably automatically have a small audience. But that audience is an important audience for us. And so not only do you need to segment the audience, you need to know how powerful or how relevant that audience is. And I think one of the things is to recognise that those old names are not necessarily what we, now in digital media, you talk about key influencers. Influencers, Paul Kelly was an influencer because he wrote on the front page of The Australian at a time when everyone who was important read The Australian. It's no longer the case. So an influencer might be a blogger. It might be someone with a Twitter following of 35,000 people. This is not just the business media that's changing. I think enough of you in the room would know David Letterman, the US talk show host, who is having his last show this week, I think after 33 years or something. At his peak, his show had something like 8 million viewers a night. It's now down to 3 million. The show was watched live on the television set that was in the centre of the room where 2, 3, 4, the whole family sat watching the one thing. You did have a monopoly on attention with that sort of draw card. Today, Letterman's been talking about how he can't keep up with people who basically design their shows so that they get shared on social media within minutes of the show going to air, or they delay watching the show, or they watch the show alone on their iPads. Now, this is the way the media landscape is changing, but equally, it's the way the landscape is changing where you're trying to present policy. If you do believe, David, that you've got good content, that it's important content, that it's part of a civil society to have these things debated, then it's incumbent upon you to understand how do you get that content out there. And it's not enough to say, okay, let's give it to the Financial Review or let's give it to The Australian. That simply doesn't get through to the audience, to the right audience, to enough of an audience. And I think the other thing to bear in mind is that as these audiences continue to fragment, you've also got to segment the way that you present. It's not just public and private. I think you do have to make that decision. This argument we want to make, is it better made behind the scenes? Is it better made in private? But that's part of understanding your audience. You might also think, okay, we'll do three significant pieces of work that David's talking about each year, and that significant piece of work will form the foundation of what you're trying to get across. I would be arguing that in the run-up to each of the publications of those pieces of work, you equally need to be talking about, we are doing this work. Here are the issues that we're talking about. You have to generate engagement in advance. It's all too easy now for something to come out, to get a day or two of media coverage, to be referred to in a few public presentations and then disappear, because there's simply so much information coming out there. And that information should have a longer shelf life, but it doesn't necessarily have a longer shelf life. One of the things, again, that we're trying to understand with Blue Notes is how can we prolong the shelf life of what we produce? A lot of effort goes into producing compelling content. It's no good if it just gets read for a couple of days and then disappears. It's going to be relevant for weeks and months if it's good content. to keep something like one of your major reports relevant, then that's equally got to be continually worked in the social media world. And I think, you know, I am a dinosaur because I grew up in this old age, but, you know, hopefully I'm a dinosaur who's attempting to at least understand what the little nippy mammals are doing as they run around. You know, I'm still going to starve in a couple of years' time, but I think, you know, it's the most important thing is to recognise this media world has changed. If you want to get an audience, if you want the audience to listen to you, you've got to be prepared to change the way you disseminate that information. Thanks very much.